From their basement lair, join one man who spends way too damn much on toys, and the other who lives vicariously through his purchases. This is David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. And now, welcome your hosts, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper.
Hey gang, pull up a stool to the old toy bar because we're open for business yet again this week. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a whole new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. I'm Duvall.
And I'm Dave.
Hey, we're at an upstairs bar this week.
Yes, we are. We're like that swanky restaurant on Cheers that you never actually got to see.
There was a swanky restaurant on Cheers?
Yeah, Cheers was like, remember how there was that set of stairs that went up in the background?
Oh,
that went
yeah.
up to a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I think that maybe they finally went there once, but...
Oh, I gotcha.
You almost never saw it.
Yeah, we got kicked out of my, out of the actual toy bar this, well, yes. Not really kicked out, but we had to move upstairs for a day. That's all right.
That's all right.
It happens.
We'll live.
It's warmer up here.
That's true.
Yeah, it's cold as shit downstairs in the basement. Everyone's like, it's a basement. Well, I know that, but it's cold. It still sucks. How are you, Dave?
I'm alive, which apparently is something. I think the Mayans, their calendar was actually for my immune system rather than just the world, because apparently it ended
nice.
In 2012. Yeah, I got sick again like about the middle of last week, and I've just...
Like right after we recorded?
The day after we recorded. Wednesday night.
Wow. Yeah.
And I've just had like the worst weekend. I haven't had any sleep.
Maybe there's some strange disease in my basement and you're...
It could be it.
You're patient zero.
It could be it.
Awesome.
Could be it.
I'm immune to it, apparently.
I do have a hankering for brains.
Brains. Monkey brains or human brains?
Six and one, half a dozen another.
Oh, that sounds good. Sounds like a nice even.
Yeah, so there. If I sound weird, it's because my throat is literally hamburger.
Oh.
Hamburger and phlegm.
Hamburger and phlegm. Nummy.
Yeah. So.
Nummy, nummy, nummy.
Yeah, I know. I think we've had one episode of this show where I wasn't sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 6 weeks? Yeah.
In 6 weeks, I know.
It's crazy.
I'm telling you, man, those Mayans sort of knew what they were talking about.
Goodness. So we had a new show debut last Friday, which is why we got bumped Thursdays.
Yeah, I know.
But
got shoved out of the way like so much garbage.
Well, no, that's all right. Effin debuted last Friday, and it was a good show. It's going to be a good addition to the site, and it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's hosted by BC Direct, and this week was Flynn, but that's not to say that David World might show up, or they might have some special guests pop in, or whatnot on Effin, or we may host one time. You never know.
Right.
So it just depends on what the rotation is. But it was a very, very good show. A lot of humor in there. A lot of great stuff. So if you haven't checked out the first episode of Effin yet, check it out. If everyone's like, what's that stand for? Well, it stands for Figure News. Such a great title.
Yeah.
Okay. While we're talking about that, though, we will, before we get into any other toy news, we got our first hate mail. I wouldn't really call it hate mail.
Yeah, I've been wondering about this because I saw your Twitter feed. You were so excited about it, too. It was like, oh, I got hate mail. People hate me again. It's like, yeah, good for you.
It wasn't so much that.
Some of us never stopped.
No, well, thanks, you asshole.
I was going to say something like, you know, well, gee, I send you hate mail all the time. You don't get excited when I do
That's
it.
True. Well, it wasn't so much hate mail. It was us. It was hate mail for the site. And I found this very, very entertaining this idiot would take the time to send this message.
All right.
And I forgot to do it. I was going to print it out and actually frame the son of a bitch
because
it's hysterical. It's from somebody named Joe.
Well, there you
the
go.
Subject is Toy World Order with question marks. And the Gmail account is just some false Gmail account that somebody made just to send us an email, which I find hysterical. But he says, I see you have given yourselves over to the New World Order. You're not fooling any one of those who know what your title actually means. I bet you think that it's just a big conspiracy, huh? It's not a joke, and you are not one of them. I actually find your title pathetic and quite disappointing. Now you tell me,
wow.
What the fuck is that person talking about?
I know what he's talking about, but wow.
Explain
well,
to
the,
us.
The New World Order is this sort of conspiracy theory about, creating sort of like an evil version of Star Trek where it's all one world, where it's one world order.
Right.
It's the New World Order.
Right.
It's one world government, you know, a socialist utopia, you know.
Yeah.
And there's all this stuff about the Federal Reserve and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I I'm not an expert in this crazy, you know.
Right.
It started with Woodrow Wilson, who's the most evil man in history, and I don't know, the Knights Templar in there somewhere. And, you know,
I opened
Fnord.
This.
That's all I got to say about that is Fnord.
Dude, I opened this and read it and went, what the hell?
All the things to go, I was expecting something like, you know.
I was expecting.
Dave's a fat idiot and you're stupid and you guys are dummies and I hate you. But like to go after the name.
I was expecting more of like wrestling jokes because people would say, oh, you guys think you're the NWO. You know.
Well, that's hard to type.
Thinking we're hanging out with Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. But I didn't expect this. Very strange, I don't know what the political conspiracy theorists like sending emails to the Toy World Order mailbox, just basically, you know. And they had to go to our site to do it too, because if you go to our site and click on the Two Crew at the top, you bring up all of our pictures. And in those pictures, there's a thing down the bottom that says email the Two Crew, you know. They had to go to our site, click on that link, and hit that email to email us because it came to the Two Crew, which comes to my mailbox.
Thanks for the hits, Joe.
Yeah, thanks for the hits, whoever you are. Thank you, you idiot.
Oh, and by the way, we have traced your IP address, and the men in black are at your door even as you're listening to this.
You know, here's the thing. If you're going to send me mail, or if you're going to send Toy World Order mail like that, then at least go out of your way to actually, I don't know, have it mean something to what we're doing, which happens to be toys. Idiot.
Apparently he thinks it does have something. I don't know.
Yes, because we're creating a new utopia where we rule with toys.
Well, I think his point was that, you know, we're trying to make ourselves look like we're in with, you know, the George Soros crowd, but when the revolution comes, we'll be against the wall with everybody else.
See,
we're deluding ourselves that we're part of the in crowd, part of the elite. Wow.
Joe, let me give you a nice little tidbit of information. Maybe that will calm your creepy, hysterically sad little mind to know that ToyWorldOrder.com was not created to, I don't know, meld ourselves over with the New World Order. ToyWorldOrder.com was created and given that name because, one, it was a name on a list we came up with, and two, Travis Wilden, who happens to be Dr. Professor on many of the forums and is an amazing graphic artist, created the logo that we use on the site because I sent him a bunch of names and said, hey, do logos for these. I don't care what you do. Use your imagination. And that was the first one he sent back, and that's what we went with. We didn't pick our name to be political or to be part of a conspiracy. We picked the name because the damn logo was friggin' cool. So, Joe, thank you for wasting your time and sending me this great, amazing email that you took time out to, I don't know, plug into your great conspiracy theory. But, we do toys, dude. I don't care about politics. I really don't care much about what's going on in the world if it doesn't have to do with toys. So, nice try.
Hail Eris.
Oh, nice.
You don't have to. Fnord.
Winter is coming.
Fnord.
Winter is coming.
Fnord.
As we cross-mailed lots of different things here. I farted again.
Yeah, you were just taking umbrage at my line about beans. Like I said, kids, you want to win that contest? Eat lots of beans.
That was awesome. That was a good one, too.
Oh, Lord.
I wonder if the microphone picked it up.
I think it did. I think my microphone picked it up.
Neat. Your nose won't pick it up, though.
Yes.
All right.
The one good thing about being sick.
Now that we're past all that, giving everyone a history lesson on the great conspiracy that is New World Order and how Toy World Order came to be because of a graphic, we talked a lot about MattyCollector.com last week.
Yeah, speaking of conspiracies.
We talked a lot about Matty last week.
And nutcases.
And, you know.
We've talked about Matty. See, the thing is, like, I almost wanted to start the show by saying that I was going to make this announcement, that this is going to be my final episode of talking about freaking MattyCollector.com, Digital River, Toy Guru, and all you damn He-Man fans that have apparently lived a fucking charm life your whole life and have never had anything go wrong, have never been disappointed, have never had anything happen so that one site screws up your precious little toys and you guys go out of your fucking minds. I mean, okay, he says, look, this is a company. Things go wrong. Mistakes get made. It happens. You're just going to have to learn to deal with it. And people are like, deal with it? What are you talking about? I give you money for toys. I should have everything perfect. Like, oh, my God, these people are just...
Ladies and gentlemen, I just watched Dave Draper regress into Angry Duvall, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever bore witness to.
What's amazing is he's saying, look, okay, there are going to be problems. And people are like, no, you can't say that.
To me...
And if he hadn't said there were going to be problems, they'd be like, how can you not telling us that there aren't going to be problems?
To me, I find this whole situation fascinating because, one, there is that large section of the fan community that just goes balls bananas about it. A lot of them, you know... there's one side that are the true hardcore fans that will put up with Maddie no matter what they do and will continue to buy their toys, and those are the people that won't so much bitch and moan as they will try to come to Maddie's rescue and try to, you know, say, oh, now, you know, at least we're getting new He-Man toys, let's all not, you know, attack Maddie. And then there's the other side of the fans, which I actually agree with, especially people like Chris Vint and Mike Lacey and Mike Blanchard from GeekCast. I agree with those guys, and the fact that ultimately what it comes down to at this point is that Maddie is constantly just, you know, is screwing with people's finances at this point because they're screwing things up. You know, it goes back to our conversation last week, which if you haven't heard the podcast, you can go back and listen to it. We're not going back into it. But, you know, it comes down to, you know, they're messing with people's finances and incomes. They're waiting until the last moment to give details about figures that should have been known. Actually, if you listen to Masters Universe Chronicles, Mike Lacey and Chris Vint actually brought up a good point in the fact that at one point, Toy Guru actually came out and said, like, 3 weeks before Sorceress was supposed to go on sale, that she wasn't even in production yet. I mean, this is a company that constantly, whether or not they, like I said last week, it seems to be a company that's constantly sliding off the rails of the train track.
But, I mean, as I said last week, this has been something that has been going on and on and on, and there have been problems, and the fans have been bitching from day one, and Digital Rivers had problems, and I think Mattel, in general, maybe hasn't had as many problems until... probably Roboto was like the first real major screw up.
Right. I mean, that was about the time people really were like, hey, what the hell? Because.
But fans were always, you know, they'd introduce a new character and there'd always be that, you know, why not Ram Man? Why this guy?
Why not this figure
that I want?
Right.
That stupid figure.
Right.
I mean, fans were always pissy and upset about everything. And well, the Digital River gave them a reason to be upset.
Well, yeah. But I guess
what I'm saying is, you know, honestly, because one of the questions that we got for this week, and I hate to jump ahead, but it's basically, convince me to stick with this line.
Right.
It's like, you know, at some point, I think we've reached the point where you have to decide, do I want He-Man figures or do I want to live a hassle-free life?
Right.
And it's like, you know, if you choose to stay with this line, apparently this is the treatment you're going to get. It's unfortunate. It's bad business. I think not all of it is directly Mattel's fault, necessarily. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
But just... suck it up. As for the financial thing, if you're living so on the edge that juggling around even a couple hundred bucks is going to completely throw your finances into the shitter,
right?
You probably have bigger concerns than buying He-Man toys.
Well, I mean, that's only a handful of situations where guys have separate accounts set aside for the stuff, and they've got a certain amount of money in there.
Okay, well, that's getting fancy.
But to cover figures that they knew were supposed to come out this month in January. And then when they screwed it all up and flipped it all around and released the most expensive set of the year in January after they said they weren't going to do that, it screwed with people. And then they said, well, we're going to charge you in two installments. Well, that still screwed with people who had that money set aside in separate accounts. If I'd have been in that same case, I'd have been pissed too, because here I've got this money set aside that isn't in my regular account. It's in this one account. That account is the Maddie account. Like, if I'd have had a subscription, I'd have done the same thing. I'd have been putting money aside for it, knowing every month I've got this much to spend. I know these months I'm going to get hit hard, so there's going to be more money in there. And let's say January I only had money to cover the figure that was supposed to come out. And then suddenly you're like, oh, by the way, that figure's not coming out. Here's the most expensive set. And then suddenly that account's overdrawn, and I'm you know, you get what I'm saying? I mean, it's a lot of different checks and balances that just aren't being followed through by on Digital River's part, you know? And I didn't so much blame Mattel. I mean, I do, but...
No, that stuff's Mattel. That's not Digital River.
I
having the toys available to be sold is Mattel.
Toy Guru posted a letter, which I don't know if I want to read all of this, but he talks about the Demo Man delay and how it was tied into the 2000 subscription, you know, and they needed to sell him in 2011, and at the last minute they found out he wasn't going to be 100% in stock by December 15th, so they made the call to sell him but not ship him until he was in stock. And he even says in hindsight this was not the best plan. Well, no shit. The result was mass confusion. Well, everything's been mass confusion, I hate to tell him. I think one of the... he says another bug in the system has been quality control. He says when running a high-end collector line at extremely low quotas... Okay, let's stop there. Masters is not necessarily a high-end collector line. Masters figures cost...
It charges like it.
Oh, it charges like it, but it's not a high-end collector line. A high-end collector line to me are Hot Toys from Sideshow.
Sideshow products.
That's high-end collector at low quotas. That, and again, that goes back to my argument. Mattel, Digital River, go pick the brains at Sideshow because they know what the hell they're doing. And I'm sure you could learn a thing or three from them. You know, he says they address their absolute commitment to improving customer service. Yes, there's been poor communication in the past, and customers have had difficulty with things like changing addresses or credit cards and finding out the status of orders. We are 100% committed to making these things an issue of the past and are actively working with our partners at Digital River to make massive improvements. For example, we hope to announce soon a new functionality to the site that will give you much more control over changing your address, credit cards, etc. Okay. Here's an idea. Find somebody else to do it. That would take care of all your issues. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He says that the Wind Raider sold out, but it still did just okay for them. There won't be a vehicle in 2012. He says not due to Wind Raider sales, but rather due to offering Granamir the Giant Dragon. So that's basically your vehicle for 2012. They're waiting to see the 2013. Classics is absolutely transitioning to a more subscription-based line going forward. He says, we need these subholders to maintain the minimum production quota we know will sell. Day of sales are more like icing on the cake. So when the 13 sub goes on sale in July, your purchase is your vote for more Classics toys and more large items. Excuse me. He says, I'm not trying to make you spend more, but we highly encourage you to purchase the sub. Not only to show your interest, but day of stock will continue to go down as we concentrate. See, that's the issue, is that they're relying too heavily on subscribers, and people are pissed. Because of all this, they don't want to do subscriptions again because they're having too much issues. So they're going to start taking away day of sales and relying more heavily on... So eventually, you're not going to be able to buy anything day of. If you're not a subscriber. If you're not a subscriber, basically what that says to me, in about a year and a half, if this line still continues and this website still exists, you're not going to get shit, basically, is what it comes down to. You're just not going to get it. To me, that's piss poor. That's a sad way to run business. And whether that's upper management or whether that's some other decision being made, I don't get it. And they also say that they're also not going to be doing any reissues of going forward of any figures past Manny Faces, mm-hmm. which... That was a bad thing to announce. Should have never said that, because now scalpers are going to go pick all those up that they can pick up,
mm-hmm.
and especially everything after Manny Faces. Scalpers are going to buy those up, and you're going to see prices dramatically increase on the second market. You're going to see it at shows. You're going to see it at Comic-Cons. You're going to see it on eBay. You're going to see people trying to, you know, close up gaps in their collection of stuff they missed, and now they're going to pay 5-6 times more because scalpers realize, oh, those toys aren't coming back out now. So now they're uber rare. I'm done. I'm not going to read anything else because I'm done. Because basically, like I said last week, even though I have nothing to gain or lose in any of this because I'm not buying anything from MattyCollector.com, reading this made me mad because it's like, why would you say these things to your fans when I understand that you're trying to put fires out?
As opposed to what? Like not telling them? That nothing's ever going to be reissued?
Well, no, as opposed to, like, I don't know. I guess it's just one of those things where they shouldn't have they shouldn't have said a lot of the things they said, because ultimately, even though they're putting out the fires, all it did was just rile fans up that were just starting to kind of calm back down. And it just opened the floodgates again. And they should have addressed a couple of these things, but not in this detail. I mean, just not at all, because all it did was just set people off again. I don't know what they should have done. I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm not in charge of things. That's why I don't run a toy line, you know. But it goes back to the same thing we've said before, is that the initial problem was basically Digital River. It's always come back to Digital River and their inability to properly run the shipping and ordering for this line, whether it's day of or whether it's subscriptions. I mean, the shipping issues weren't Digital River's problems.
A lot of this stuff seems much more corporate. I mean, the not reissuing figures.
Oh, right. Oh, I agree.
The transitioning to subscription-based, that all seems very, very corporate. And it seems like... It really seems like Mattel's getting ready to... Well, this is just my personal opinion, that Mattel, the company, is getting ready to close the book, and Toy Guru is trying to say, look... Because I'm sure a lot of people, because I've seen on Facebook people going, I'm canceling my subscription.
Yeah.
I think what Toy Guru is trying to say is, look, if you want He-Man to continue, you have to understand that, you know, if you all cancel your subscriptions, Mattel's going to pull the plug.
Right.
Because isn't, like, Ghostbusters pretty much dead in the water?
Ghostbusters is dead.
Yeah.
I mean, dead. I mean, I don't know if they're going to show anything at Comic-Con. I think whatever they've shown, they're going to release, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that might be the way that He-Man's going.
Yeah.
Masters, I know it's Masters, but...
Well, it's sad, though. It's, you know...
Well,
it's
sad.
It's a great toy line, and what should have been a great company, and it's just kind of bleh. Let's move on to something more fun. I've had my fill. I think that'll be the last time we talk about Mattel in some time, unless something ridiculous happens to where it's
it's like, I get it, it's screwed up, I get that you're unhappy, but like I said, you have to decide... You know, at some point you really need to decide, because I did this with Star Wars. At some point it was like, do I just put up with the hassle and shut up?
Right.
Or do I, stop collecting Star Wars? I mean, at some point you make that decision.
Right.
You know,
and Mattel's not the first toy company to do shit like this to fans.
No,
Hasbro's done it for years, G.I. Joe, to Transformers, to Star Wars.
Star Wars.
I mean, even a lot of the smaller companies have done the same problems, This wasn't like, it's not the same thing, and it wasn't necessarily NECA's fault, but the fact that Playmates played so dirty with NECA and wouldn't allow them to release, finish releasing the figures they had planned for their Turtles comic series is kind of garbage. And all because Playmates wanted to release their own comic version of the Turtles, and then that never happened because Playmates canceled the line for 2 years.
Oh.
It's like... This isn't the first time that toy companies have done this. The reason that it's so out there and people are so vocal about it is because the Masters community, I think, is so much more open and vocal than any of the other collecting communities, because they have been, we've had Star Wars figures for, how long was the gap between we didn't have Star Wars figures?
It was 85 to 90, about 10 years.
G.I. Joe, we didn't have Joe figures for about...
G.I. Joe, it would go, there were smaller gaps.
Right.
But there's more of them.
He-Man, there was that major gap, and then they screwed everything up in 2000X. So, He-Man fans haven't had the opportunity to have these figures again as they get older, as Star Wars fans and Joe fans,
yeah,
and especially Transformers fans have. There's never been that constant surplus of He-Man stuff. So, for something like this to come along with classics... And, the fans are going to be more vocal about it and be more upfront about it, because they don't want to see their crack disappear, because that's what it comes down to, is in the simplest of terms, is this is crack cocaine for He-Man fans. I mean,
well,
literally.
I also think that Masters Classics came out, Star Wars came out kind of, Power of the Force 2 came out kind of at the dawn of the big collector era.
Right.
It was one of the things. And like I said, G.I. Joe's been off and on. And Transformers just never really went away.
Right.
Where He-Man came out, there were collector fan sites. There was this. I mean, when Star Wars came out, when Power of the Force, those sites sort of were coalesced around, around that new toy line. It was a new thing. Whereas with He-Man, everybody had their shit together.
Right.
They were organized, and they were there, and they were ready for a toy line. And now that it's out, they're They've got everything in place, so that there is this community there, and so I don't think that they're, you know, the growing pains that we just sort of had to put up with Power of the Force, you know, that's playing out to a much more organized and ready and aware group of collectors.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
Like, you know, I think I told the story either last week or the week before. I mean, I got my modem because of Power of the Force, too.
Right, exactly. You got internet because of those figures.
Because of those things, yeah. Whereas, again, that's all... Those communities were already in place by the time that Classics came out.
Right.
You know, they were already there. It was already prime, you know. So you're kind of going up against this organized... I don't want to say enemy, but this organized force, you know.
Right.
So that the mistakes that you make, you know, are going to be pushed back against much harder. Whereas, you know, we're just back in the day, we're like, darn you, Hasbro.
Yeah, exactly.
And Hasbro's like, well, if you don't like our distribution, don't buy our toys. It's like,
yeah.
The problem is,
Hasbro,
we want to buy your toys. Don't you understand? He's like,
oh, man.
That's the thing. We can't buy your toys. That's why we're mad.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So, but yeah, I thought one of the advantages to jumping ship was that I wouldn't have to talk about fucking He-Man every week.
Well, I know. But you know what? Like I said last week, I'm fascinated by the whole situation. It's simply seeing the fan reaction makes me go, oh my god.
People have separate checking accounts to pay for this shit. That was news to me this week.
I mean, people are hardcore about it. And I don't blame them. I mean, if they did Brave Star in that same style, I'd be right there in Maddie's lap going, oh, mom, you know. Literally, I'd be like, hey, how's it going? What can I do for you, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's just one of the things. I was part of a Saturday morning shout-out by our good buddy Sean the Decepticon this Saturday on his YouTube page.
That's cool.
Yep, he did a look at the Thundercats line, at the new Thundercats line, and gave myself and the website and our podcast and FN. He gave, you know, quite a bit of shout outs, and
cool.
he said he's got a Teddy Ruxpin he's gonna send me. So he's like, yo, I found that Teddy Ruxpin, I'm gonna send it to you. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, awesome.
Throw it on the pile.
Yes. Pile of teddies. I have parts out there.
Well, I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do. But it was really cool. It was a nice gesture, and Sean, I appreciate it. It was very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Very awesome that you give that shout out to me and the site and everything. So man, I appreciate it and thank you very much. But yeah, that was a good time this Saturday. Trying to think how to word this right. I know that Star Wars is like one of your favorite toy lines, but what was your favorite toy line that's not Star Wars? Let's put it that way, because that's just too easy of an answer.
Well, yeah,
for you.
Well, I mean, then you get into G.I. Joe, which is the obvious one.
Well, what about Fisher-Price Adventure People?
Are we talking about when I was a kid?
Yeah, when you were a little
about,
no, when
oh,
you
when
were
I was
a little
kid, it was probably Fisher-Price Adventure People.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mego was big when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a lot of them, but I mean, you know, other kids did, and I played with their stuff. So, I would say Fisher-Price Adventure People was probably my favorite toy line. I mean, up until, you know, I mean, I would use the stuff with my Star Wars figures. I would use the boats for skiffs.
Yeah.
After Return of the Jedi.
Because we just went to Kane County in October, and you found a bunch of Adventure People, Space Adventure People stuff that you bought, like the spaceship and all that stuff.
That's probably... from a little kid, that was probably my favorite toy line.
When did you start going back and trying to pick up some of that stuff?
Was it just in the last couple years? Just within the last year. No, off and on I would pick up stuff. Because, I mean, that's one of those toy lines that's... Sometimes you can get it cheap and sometimes it's expensive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were certain sets that I went after. I always wanted the news van. I had this one kid in my neighborhood had the news van. And I always thought that was the coolest thing. Because, you know, we pretended that all the cameras were guns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
It was like, you know. So I wanted the news van, and there were a couple other vehicles that I wanted. And there's still a couple that I need to get that I want. And then I got, like, a huge lot. I mean, I've got a box in my basement that's got, like, extra Jeeps and extra...
Oh,
it's got, like, three of every kind of Jeep. And then
Jesus.
A couple of the extra of the vans. And so I picked out the best ones, and those are the ones on the shelf. But,
right.
Yeah. So off and on since I've been collecting. Last 10-15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the van early on, the news van.
Yeah, you got quite a little collection going on down there, that stuff. I mean, quite a nice little collection.
Yeah. I mean, that's one I'm not sure I'll ever, like actually try to complete, just because there's so much and they do get pricey.
Right.
But there's definitely a couple of sets. I'd love to get the Sea Explorer, which is the one with the dolphin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everyone says it's Flipper, but it's not.
Oh.
And then I still want to get, I always talk about the bike. The bike set that I used, the figure for Luke Skywalker.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I need to get another one of those someday.
That's awesome.
So.
It was such a great line. I remember having the space people when I was a kid. I remember having, I had the, what was it? Was he the blue robot guy? Like the blue alien kind of?
Oh, the X-ray guy.
Yeah, he was kind
of. Yeah, there was an X-ray guy and an X-ray woman.
Yeah, I had the guy. He was like, you know, he was made out of that
translucent
blue. I remember having that figure. I remember having, I had one of the space vehicles. And if I saw a picture of it, I think it was just the longer spaceship. Like, it had the knob nose on it and the wings, and it had an opening canopy.
Yeah.
I had one of those. I remember having those, and I remember those were really cool. But, yeah, I did the same thing. But, you know, I'm a handful of years younger than you. But, yeah, I did the same thing. I'm like, yeah, Star Wars! And then I got into G.I. Joe, and that all went away.
Yeah.
My favorite toy line when I was a kid would probably be G.I. Joe. Because I had so much of it. I mean, I had, you know, I could fill 3 duffel bags full of stuff. And I know this for a fact because I used to pack up my Joes and go to my friend Daryl Hughes' house. He lived down around the block, and he lived across the street from a little church in our neighborhood. And we literally in the summer would take all our Joes and go across the street to that church and play G.I. Joe for like hours and hours and hours and hours on end. I mean, that's all we did. Man, I had so much G.I. Joe stuff because this, I mean, you know, they think back then in the '80s, those little G.I. Joe figures were cheap. They were like $2.99, $3.99 a figure.
Something like that, yeah.
And you know, I used to get so many of them for Christmas and for my birthday. My mom and stepdad and my grandparents used to buy me stuff for Easter. You know, I'd get an Easter basket full of toys instead of candy. I just had so many vehicles, and you know. I think that literally was my favorite toy line when I was a kid, just because there was so much play value in that, you know, in the 80s Joe line. There's just, and you know, when I go and look at your collection now, I just remember going thinking, man, I had so much damn fun with this stuff. But unfortunately, it all, you know, everything I had, probably when I was about 11 or 12, we had a really bad, really bad rainstorm. And basically, our sewer backed up, and my stepdad had taken the sub pump out because it broke and hadn't bought a new one. And the sewer backed up and literally flooded the basement. So not only did it ruin probably 90% of the stuff my mother had from when I was a kid. So, you know, I had banners from, like, all the little live shows we used to go, like the Ice Capades, and, you know, we went to see Looney Tunes and the DC superheroes on stage and all that stuff, like, at our convention center here. I had all that, you know, all the little knickknacks and stuff from that. All that stuff got ruined. Everything in the basement got ruined. My toys, all of my toys were in the basement because that was where my playroom was.
Yeah.
My stepdad had made these little, like, you know, taken these wooden, solid wooden pallets and put carpet on it, and that was where I played. And I had, you know, all my stuff down there on shelves and stuff, all ruined because the water literally, the sewer water literally was up to the floorboards. I mean, that's how much it flooded. And I lost everything, you know.
Jeez.
All my toys, none of them were salvageable because they were covered in shit.
No.
And garbage and nastiness. And it's just, we just ended up throwing them all away. One of the saddest, I mean, that's one of the things, you know, Carrie asks me sometimes why I'm so into toy collecting. And that's one of the, I mean, that's one of the reasons why, because I'm, you know, she's said before, it's like you're trying to replace something that's not there. And it's true. It's because, you know, 12 years old is still young, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite yet a teenager. I was still a kid.
No, still had my toys. I still played with stuff when I was 12.
Yeah, still had my toys. And then I lost everything. Like, literally lost everything. I had no toys till, you know, my next birthday. I mean, you know, literally nothing. I had nothing to play with. All my Joes, all my Transformers, my Sektars High playset, all my Sektars, you know, all my GoBots, all my Masters of the Universe stuff, all of it, man, just ruined.
Well, see, my thing is almost even worse because mine wasn't like a tragedy. It was just like I took most of my Star Wars stuff over to this kid's house and left it there.
Yeah.
I never bothered to pick it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was getting to be beyond that age where I cared about it. You know, and most of my stuff I lost because I didn't, you know, I either broke it because I played with it or I didn't care about it. I didn't store it right. And
yeah.
Stuff got damaged in storage.
Yeah.
You know, so there. I understand completely. I mean, that's been my big kick for a couple of months now is specifically targeting the actual stuff that I had.
Right.
You know, that's been like a big thing, like that big VW, not VW, but the big camper thing that I had at King County.
Yeah, it's a Tonka, right?
Yeah, Tonka. Yeah. Winnebago.
Yeah, big Winnebago, yeah.
You know, there's these little wind-up robots, and I'm trying to get off of eBay.
Yeah, the Tomy...
The Tomy Rascal Robots.
Yeah.
Because I had both of those. The Mark Safari, I had all the animals for that. Mm. So there is, like, this weird... You know, I think I'm sort of transitioning from stuff that I would have loved as a kid, which is, you know, most of the modern stuff. It's like,
right.
Oh, if I had that, that would be so cool.
Yeah,
to, with it.
To stuff you to stuff actually,
that I actually
had. Right.
Yeah, some vintage stuff that I actually really loved.
Yeah.
Like the dinosaur playset, the Mark's playset.
Yeah.
Was a big thing for me.
And you finally found that.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I only have... I don't know if I've quite got to that point where it's... You know, I've kind of moved on past that. There's still a few pieces from my childhood. I'd love to have my Sektar's Hive playset back, but one, it's so friggin', it's literally, you know, 4.5, almost 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
Tall, so I went southern. Wow. 5 foot tall, and it's, you know, shipping costs, you can buy that off eBay. Yeah, you can find one for $100, but shipping's going to cost you another 100. So it's like, I can't, you know, I just can't justify it. If I could find one at a toy show or a convention that was complete and somebody only wanted $50 for it, more than likely I'd be in Dave's car. We'd find a way to get it in the back seat and drive home.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's certain pieces that I'd want to go back and find, but it's more like now my collection is gone towards, you know, and we've talked about it and you've seen it firsthand. Now my collection's gone towards more, of stuff that I wanted when I was a kid, not so much like, you know, like to Teddy Ruxpin and all the talking toys and all the board games I keep buying up that I keep finding. I'm like, oh, this was such a cool board game, and I never had it. You know, I didn't know it existed. And it's stuff that I'm like, if I was 4 years old or 5 years old again, I'd want to have this. And that's where my collection, you know, that's where I'm going, because, one, the stuff seems to be popping up more and more like that, and it's more cheaper and kind of cost-effective for me to, you know, last week when we went to, you know, we talked about it on last week's show, but at the, you know, the antique mall, you know, a lot of that stuff was stuff I had, you know, I had either had or wanted as a kid, and ended up just buying it because, well, one, it was cheap, you know. And then I came home and bought a Disney World board game from the 70s from Milton Bradley, this huge 3D board game from like 1975, 76 on eBay. And it's like, it's only missing a couple of little character stands, but everything else is there, and it's just a beautiful, amazing looking game. And it's like that's where the hobby is taking me now. It's, you know, like I said, we've talked about it, how I don't buy new toys anymore just because, you know, I can take the money I'd spend on a new toy and go to a show or an antique mall or a flea market and buy 10 times that with the same amount of money and come home with just as much stuff that I think is cool other than new stuff. You know, I still appreciate the new stuff that's coming out. I think it's amazing, but, you know, that's where my hobby's taken me, and it's all because of, you know, all of my toys got ruined when I was 12 years old. I mean, you know, that was heartbreaking as a kid to know that I had all this stuff that I'd had, all, you know, my Ghostbusters Proton Pack and all that stuff, man. Just so sad. So all my Filmation Ghostbusters stuff I had, that stuff's ridiculously expensive. I mean, that Shaper stuff's so rare now that, you know, if you see a Ghost Buggy or Ghostbusters Headquarters from Filmation, the Ghost Buggy will run you. I saw somebody part one out. Smart bastard. Because he probably made a fortune on it. But he parted them out, and the parts were going for $40-$50 a pop. Parts.
Wow.
Parts. Because that's how rare they are.
Well, no, I believe it.
Yeah. And the Headquarters, if you ever see a Headquarters on eBay and it's less than $300, buy that son of a bitch. Because you're never... That's just like the Muppets Backstage playset. You ever see one of those on eBay that's less than $300 as a buy it now? Just pony up the money and buy it, because you're never going to see it again. Goes back to us talking about Rock and Fire and Boba Fett. You ever see something like that in the store and you've got the money? Might as well just buy the bastard, because you ain't never going to see it again. That's how I feel. Huh. I just heard my wife sneeze. Bless you! She apologizes. Oh, but yeah, I mean, that's, you know... Sorry, that went in from my favorite toy line to a 20-minute...
That's okay.
Rant about how my toys got ruined and my childhood was so awful.
But no, but that's probably, you know, part of where it comes from. I think we all have our own journeys, and there's a reason, you know, why we're doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason for the attachment, and there's, you know, there's that sense of trying to complete something, of getting something back that we lost.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people always assume that my favorite movie is Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back, and it's not. It's actually Citizen Kane is my favorite movie, and the whole point of that movie, you know, everyone goes, oh, Rosebud is a sled. Well, what that means, Rosebud was the sled he has as a kid, and that was his only happy memory pretty much from his entire life, his only pure memory.
Yeah.
So at the end, when he's surrounded by wealth and opulence and all the art and treasures of the world, the one thing he wants
is his sled.
Is that sled that he had when he was a happy child.
Yeah. I agree. So, I was gonna say your favorite movie was Buckaroo Banzai. Man, I'd have been way off.
You've been way off.
No, that's a good. I mean, that's you know. I could see it. I don't know if Citizen Kane would be my favorite movie. My favorite movie is Little Mermaid. Those for other reasons, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creepy, sorry. Inappropriate reasons.
No.
Creepy, nasty, icky reasons.
I am married to a beautiful redhead because of that movie. Thank you.
All right.
Dang it. What a... I put this in the notes because I thought, well, we'll see what happens with it. But
good.
I know that we talked before.
Truth Stopper stories.
Yeah, we kind of talked about some of the stuff when we were both at Pop Culture. But this is one of those things that keeps popping up because mostly it came to mind because of you know, people saying that Jordan Himbrough was a scalper on Toy Hunters. And I thought, man, we should have brought this up last week, and I didn't think about it. But it's one of those things where it's like, we have stories to tell you that will prove just what a real scalper is.
Oh, boy.
I guess the one that comes to mind that I remember is one of the scalpers here in town came into Toys R Us about the time... I don't think there was a new Star Wars movie. We had gotten new Star Wars figures in, and he was at the front of the door. There was a line to get in. There was a bunch of collectors. He was at the very front of the line. As soon as he ran in, he grabbed a cart,
I know who it is.
Had his parent basically block everything so people couldn't get by her.
Yeah.
He grabbed a shopping cart, ran to the Star Wars aisle, and literally dumped every peg into his shopping cart and then took off to the other side of the store where no collector would go. So by the time the other collectors got there, there was nothing there. Now, I learned what he had done, and I went looking for him. But, well, by this point, he had dug through those, picked out the few that he wanted. He cherry-picked them, mm-hmm. and then left the whole cart of figures in an aisle in Juvenile. Now, this is why I was working at Toys R Us,
mm-hmm.
and I was a manager. I was a department supervisor.
Oh, I remember one time walking into the store, and as I walked into the store, you could hear the phone ring. And I started walking a little faster, and I don't know who it was. It was some woman who worked there shouted across the store, because they had like the little crow's nest thing where the office is.
Oh, yep.
Jason, your friend is on the phone again, and I'm like running to the Star Wars aisle, because it's like, no way is he going to like have you, his minion, beat me to the toys.
Yeah, his minion.
Well, it was...
That was before we actually talked a lot.
Yeah.
But he left this cart, and man, if I didn't, like, something... I had a bad temper. A lot of it had to do with the fact that I was suffering from depression and didn't realize it. Had no clue what I was suffering from. I just knew I was angry all the time and pissed off. And man, if something didn't snap at me that day. And I went hunting for him and his mother and was like, I cornered them down an aisle.
Wow.
Cornered them. And I was like, look. And I had him turn. I was like, look at me. I was like, number one, you ever come in this store and do what you just did again, I will guarantee you never set foot in this store for the rest of your life. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't do it.
I'm like, dude, don't lie to me. I watched you leave that cart, because I watched him, you know. Why? I was like, I watched you leave that cart back there full of Star Wars toys from my department that you came in here and dumped. I'm like, you ever do that again, and I'll make sure you never come back in this store. And, you know, his mother was like, well, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, don't tell me what I can and cannot do while I'm in this store and in charge, because I had keys. I'd open that morning. I'm like, I'm in charge of the store, and I guarantee you I'll do what I want at this moment. And right now, you're really nagging me on to basically call the cops and have you both escorted from this store, because I will have you both escorted for the story? She's like, for what? And I'm like, oh, I'll make up a reason, and it'll stick. Trust me. I'm like, you see all these people behind? Because they were like collectors now, like poking their heads around, looking like, oh, my God, what's happening? You know, I was like, you know, you pissed off a lot of people and like a lot of people behind me who will definitely take my bag and be like, yeah, that's what he did. I saw it. So it's your word against all of ours. So he never bought those Star Wars figures. He ended up leaving them. And I ended up putting all those figures back on the pegs because can't really force him to do it. But I made it very well known that don't screw with me because it will come back to haunt you.
No.
The Crazy Hot Wheel guys. Oh, actually, the Crazy Hot Wheel guy in our town,
yeah,
who we used to come in and into the store. And
now he is banned.
He's banned, but
there's a guy who works at Toys R Us who's been there forever. His name is also Dave.
Yes, great man.
Who hates that guy.
Oh, hates him.
Like basically, they have a personal thing. Like something about his wife. Like he was really shitty to Dave's wife.
Yeah, no, he was. He said something to Dave's wife, and of course, Dave is he's a very gentle man. He grew up, you know, he's seen some shit in his day. Let's put it that way. Oh, yeah. But he's very gentle-hearted guy, great guy, you know. You just don't want to get on the bad side because he will, without a second thought, beat the holy shit out of you. Well, this guy said something to his wife, something really horrible, in the store.
I think she was working at, like, Cub Foods or Kenny Market. She was working at a grocery store, and he was there looking for Hunts.
Mm.
So I think it went down.
Yeah. So, you know, he came in and Dave just basically told him to his face, you know, dude, get out of the store. And this guy basically threatened to beat Dave's ass, and that was the wrong thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dave was like, you ever come in the store, I'll kill you. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what it was said word for word. And this guy's never come back in, but he used to come in all the time and gripe and complain and scream at the employees that we weren't putting anything on the shelf, we were holding everything in the back for ourselves, you know, we were selling the stuff to people in the store, and just, I mean, real, we talk about conspiracy theorists.
I mean,
he was definitely.
His name of you was your dentist who does collect hobbies.
Oh, yeah. Not my dentist, my actual doctor, my physician.
The insidious Dr. Bova.
Yeah.
He would always tell these stories about how that Jason's always holding the Hunts for Dr. Bova. And I remember telling my mom about this, and my mom knew who Dr. Bova was.
Yeah.
And she thought it was hilarious, the insidious, evil Dr. Bova.
I don't think this guy realized, like, Dr. Bova goes out and buys stuff. Yeah. Like, he'll go to stores, if he finds something, he'll buy it. Usually he orders, like, he'll order cases because he's a doctor.
Yeah,
he's got the money.
Yeah.
And he'll just straight up order the cases instead of trying to hunt for them because he figures, I'm going to want most of the cars anyway, and I want the Hunts. I'm just going to order the damn cases. I don't think I ever held or bought him a Hot Wheel car. Now, I did hook him up with, like, when Zuzu Pets were big that first year. You know, I got him some Zuzu Pets and some other things. You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys, you know. I did hook him up with stuff, but I never got him Hot Wheels stuff because son of a bitch already got the stuff. I didn't know what he had and what he didn't have, so I wasn't going to hunt for it. But yeah, that was always funny to me that he was like, oh, Jason and the evil Dr. Bova. Yeah. It's like, dude, really? Oh, my God.
And his other favorite thing is, like, when he goes to these other stores like Walmart or Target, he always makes a big deal. Yeah, I need a new space heater. Maybe I'll buy it here if I get me some Hunts.
Yeah,
you know?
it's like, dude, really?
It's like, yeah, well, I need some kitty litter. Maybe I'll buy it here if I get me some Hunts. It's like, wow.
I mean, he literally is a crazy old coot.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes to King County and sets up. And he he collects Hot Wheels, but his main passion is like these old tin toys.
Yeah,
and
he hits a lot of garage sales.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. You hit a lot of garage sales, but then you, like, literally all he had at his table the last time I saw him there was garbage.
Hmm.
It was just junk. I'm like looking at it going, what?
Yeah, I'm done with him after
he showed up at your house?
No. Actually, after that, there's another collector here in town named Jay, who's a friend of ours.
Yay, Jay!
Jay's a cool guy. And Jay will opportunistically go after treasure hunts.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying that's good or bad, but he'll do that. So the Hot Wheels guy comes up to me, says, yeah, I heard Jay got some of my hunts, so you better tell Jay... Telling me, yeah. You better tell Jay to stop getting my Hunts. I'm going to go after your action figures. Because that's his other threat. He'll always go after our action figures. And I'm like, you know what? Do it. I'm not Jay's boss. I don't control Jay.
Yeah.
And if you want to spend $7 a pop on an action figure, you know, it's $1 a pop for me to get treasure Hunts.
Exactly.
So it's like, so from that point on, it was like, screw you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not having anything to do with you. And every time I see a hunt, I buy it.
Yeah.
And I donated most of them. I had a big bag. I dropped it off at Toys for Tots.
Yeah.
For Christmas this year.
That's funny. That's awesome. Just ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, if you guys have stories of scalpers, by all means, we'd love to hear them on the show. So you can, you know, you can leave us messages or
well, there's, email. There's one more story I want to tell.
Oh, okay.
It's slightly personal.
Oh, good. What? Against me?
No. There's this other Star Wars collector here in town.
I know you're talking
about. Made some accusations about me being a scalper, and my most distinctive memory of this guy is when Episode 2 figures came out. I was at the Walmart on the North End. And he and his wife came in, and literally they jammed, when midnight came around, they jammed the cart into the side of the aisle to block it off, and they had, like, Walmart had exclusives, so they scooped up all the exclusives into their cart. And it's like, and this is the guy that's, you know, talking smack about me being a scalper.
Here's what I think is funny about that whole situation is I remember
And I've heard stories that he's done this. Like, apparently he got in a big fight when Episode 3 came out with the people at Target because he wanted a bunch of their exclusive Darth Vader figures.
Yeah, he is. I've met him. I've never talked to him, but I've met him, you know, in the stores, and he's very off-puttish, man. He's just like...
He seems like a jerk.
He is. He's I'm not going to lie. Look, this starts a war. It's fine, but he's a dick.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny when people started telling me that he was blaming you for being a scalper.
I know.
I listened to the program.
Well, you know what it is? It's because I would get to Target when it opened, because I'm not saying I'm not an obsessive nutcase when it comes to toys. I'm just not a scalper. And he, for some reason, he would always get there like 5 to 10 minutes after they open.
Right.
So he'd always be coming in when I'm going out.
Right.
You know, and it's like...
Well, here's the actual thing that went down is I believe it might have been Oz on our forums who told me that, hey, you know, this guy's
starting trouble.
Yeah, it might have been. I have to double check, and I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Oz. And so I went and listened to the show and heard what he was talking about. Well, he was talking about how he never named you, which is, of course, we're never naming him.
Well, yeah, because I don't think he knows my name, and I don't really know his name.
But he talked about how this is when you were co-hosting That New Toy Smell after I left Pop Culture Network. And he had seen you, and he knew you by face. And
well, because he had seen us at
he had seen us at Comic-Con, all of us.
Comic-Con too.
Right, so he had seen me, you, and Pixel Dan and Killen at Comic-Con. And he saw our badges somehow and saw that they were for, you know. Yeah. So he started doing research and found out Pop Culture Network is actually owned by Killen, who runs Killen Enterprises, who runs a store, you know. So suddenly, somehow you became like an amalgam of Killen and yourself, where suddenly he thought Killen was this scalper and you were the face he put with it. So I emailed the guy and I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I know Dave Draper personally. And that's not who you're talking about, dude. I'm like, unless you're talking about this other guy, I'm like, he's a scalper, but this ain't who you're talking about. And he's like, no.
He knows that guy.
Yeah, he's like, no. He's like, I just know that you guys all work for that store. And I'm like, dude, that store doesn't buy shit off the shelves.
Killen doesn't scalp.
No, I mean, Killen orders his stuff.
Yeah, Killen orders his stuff directly from Entertainment Earth.
Exactly.
And then he gets stuff that people bring in. I mean, like when stuff goes on clearance and they have like an end cap full for $20,
I don't blame him.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not a scalper.
No, not at all. And that was my argument too. And that was, you know, I was like, dude, that he's not a scalper either. I'm like, dude, he runs a retail store. That's not scalping. I'm like, I don't get why people think that that's a scalper's business is running a retail store. Dude, screw that. Half of those people order stuff from Big Bad Toy Store, so they're ordering stuff from scalpers they say are scalpers that aren't scalpers. It's the most.
Well, it's just the attitude that I've seen this guy scarf up every exclusive item, you know.
What does he do for a living?
He sells it on eBay. I mean, that's the thing. It irritates me. It's like, it's not even that I'm a scalper. It's like I'm a better scalper than him, basically. It's like
I've seen pictures of the
professional
guy's,
jealousy.
I've seen pictures of his collection, and
I'm sure it's pretty good.
He has pieces in there that, you know.
Oh, I'm sure it's amazing.
They've got I'd love to know what they do for a living.
He throws money at it. I mean, his license plate is Sith.
Oh, yeah.
I think like Sith 1 or something.
Yeah, I mean, him and his wife both, I mean, you know.
I probably shouldn't have said that, because now you can use the DMV to track him down
and
kill him,
you know,
minions.
Here's the thing, people. We speak, this is the whole reason why we started this show, why Toy World Order does what it does, why Effin does what it does, because you know, we
get like to start shit with people.
It's not even starting shit with people. It's just telling the honest truth. I mean, this is the. I say he's a dick because that's how he has been to me. Quite a number of times I talked to him when I worked at Toys R Us. That's how he came off to me.
He's got an attitude. I mean,
he has a horrible attitude, especially towards people that were trying to help him find stuff. You know, he'd be like, excuse me, sir, I'm looking for this figure. I need you to go into the back and find it. I'm like, dude, I ain't got none back there, man. It's all out. No, you don't tell me those lies. You go back there. And it's like, well,
oh, wow.
Like,
nice.
I'll go back there and look, brother, but there ain't nothing back there. And I'd come back and I'd be like.
Even our other friend who we haven't mentioned by name, he doesn't take that approach. I mean,
no.
He's nice about it.
I mean, he was a dick. That's how he came off to me. And if.
Well, and
you
I
know,
remember the other famous story is I think he uses his wife to get stuff too, because generally collectors aren't women. And, you know, store employees are much more likely to believe that someone, you know, a woman is buying something for her kids.
Right.
Because I remember we were at Walmart. I used to be friends with a guy who ran the toy department there. Networking, what do you want to know? But he's kind of a collector too.
Right.
And we overheard her talking about how she was at Target and whatever their exclusive, it was a battle pack. It's like, oh yeah, the employees just came out and handed me one. And we're both like, jaws open.
Yeah.
Like a Target employee. She was talking to somebody else. We overheard it. But it's like, we were so jealous and so consumed with rage. It's like a Target employee giving anybody anything. Damn you!
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
So much hatred!
You know, that tale is not to start shit with anyone. I mean, I don't want to start a war with, you know, another podcast.
If he's going to talk shit about me on his podcast.
Yeah, and you know, that was a long time ago, and this is the first time we've ever publicly been able to bring something like that up. But, I mean, that's... I mean, I'm literally telling you the truth. I mean... The guy was a dick to me.
I'm telling you what I've seen.
The guy was a dick to me. And, you know, I thought many times.
Sorry to be too nice, but I've seen him do that. That's what made me mad. If somebody just made the accusation and he was a fellow collector, that's one thing. But to have seen him actually do those kind of stunts, that's where I'm like, oh, wait a minute, buddy. What are you talking? Me. Oh, the colorful characters we have right here in Central Illinois.
I know, right? It's ridiculous.
I know, it's amazing. I mean, it's like a whole.
Oh, my gosh.
I've gotten really big into that show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think
yes.
we could do like a Springfield version of that with toy collectors.
Yes. Ridiculous,
crappy in Springfield.
The ridiculous people out there. Oh my God! There you go, guys. There's some scalper stories for you.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, we went into a tirade there.
Well, it's a subject near and dear to our hearts.
Well, yeah. Well, you and me both. Because one, I worked in retail for so long and saw so much of it that it just it irritates me now when I go into a store. You know, even if I'm not in a toy aisle or something, if I go into a store and there's an employee that's trying to be helpful, trying to be nice, and this customer is just lashing out at them for no apparent reason, dude, it takes every and Carrie, my wife, will stop me. She'll be like, don't. And it'll take everything I have to not look at that customer and go, dude, shut the fuck up. That guy's trying to help you. Quit being a dick.
Oh, I used to work retail too, and I believe me, my heart goes out to these guys. I mean, I usually come into a store knowing what I want to buy.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and I'm always nice. I'm always polite. One of the reasons I have issues with Target is I've always been nice and polite. And they have this whole, well, you're buying toys, so you're a scalper, and we hate you, and you're taking toys away from little kids.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I don't think they realize
but
that.
I've always been very polite. I've always been, well,
yeah.
There was a brief period of time where I got snotty about it because I was tired of their shit.
Right.
But as a general rule, to any other store employee, I mean, you know, like Dave at Toys R Us, I'm friends with him. I would talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like any store, I'm always very nice to the people there because I understand what it's like to work with the public.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Crazy stuff, people. Bet you guys didn't think you were going to hear that today, huh? fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions?
We need a song. I'd almost say we need a Maddie song, but we're hopefully going to stop talking about Maddie. But
yeah, I'm going to declare a moratorium on that one for at least a couple weeks.
Oh, I see. Are you?
I'm literally sick of it.
Oh, let's start some fan questions. I scrolled on a page here. Sorry, people. Bear with me. Scrolling.
Where are you finding these questions at? I never see them. I look at your Twitter feed. I look at the page. I never see them.
Do you look at our forums?
I look at the forums.
There's three new ones right here, man. Actually, there's.
They must pop up after I check.
Quite a few of them.
Wow.
Well, Oz basically wanted to know.
Oz wanted to know about
comments.
The Maddie situation.
Yeah, we were talking about that, Oz. We were talking about it. Love you, Oz. We were talking about it. He's got another one down here, though. But Yoda Soup, who is new to the forums. Welcome, Yoda Soup. Yay, Yoda Soup.
Yoda he's a Soup.
Down boy, not that kind of, I don't know, Yoda? Maybe you can verify. Are you that kind of Yoda Soup? If okay. so, you don't. If so, hide from Dave. Don't let Dave see you. Something very scary
like
will happen.
Turtle soup.
Yeah, it's not good.
But more Yoda-y.
He says, "Hey guys, I'm a newbie to the forums and would like to say I love what you're doing here, giving uncensored opinions and great stories of your experiences, good and bad, with toys. Thank you, Yoda. That's what we aim to do." He says, "I thank you for your knowledge of toys. I'm learning more and more with each episode." Brown nosing aside, I thought my rear was a little sore there. My questions are for Dave.
Hey.
He wants to know, do you keep all of your vintage collection Star Wars figures on card? He says, I can't resist opening them up and playing with them. And what are your opinions on the Clone Wars figures? I'll let you tackle that while I get more tea. Tackle away.
You know, at first I was buying doubles of a lot of stuff. I think at this point that's got to end because it's just too expensive. They're up to like $10 a pop, I think, now.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy. So now, like, I literally make the choice, does it go on the wall or does it go on the shelf? But the vintage line is just, like, it's murder on me. It's just brutal because I love them so much.
Well, what's funny is that I remember one time coming over right before Christmas and you had this stack of Star Wars vintage toys that you were debating on whether or not you wanted to open because they were so, you're like, they're so cool in the package.
They're so pretty. So a lot of times, at this point, it's literally like, and a lot of them I'm buying just to keep on the package. The Darth Maul from the Episode 1 wave.
Right.
Just Sidious was just to keep in the package.
Right.
Which,
my
we've got cats. Cats well,
it's,
everywhere.
It's funny because we're in the kitchen tonight, and my wife is trying to get the dogs to go outside, and the cat just came inside, so she's all, like, excited. And my poor wife is trying to be super quiet about getting them to go with her. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen because I'm watching Dave talk, and then I'm watching her do this, and it's like, this is the greatest show ever.
So Clone Wars figures, you know, the problem with Clone Wars, I like the figures, I have a lot of them, I have more of them than I thought I would. I generally try to buy characters that they're not going to make for
right.
the other line.
Right.
It's just, it's that style of the show, and the toy line kind of faithfully reproduces it. I notice that more and more, with each successive wave, they get more realistic looking.
Yeah.
There's a new Commander, Cody, I think, that looks really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just, it's a very stylized thing. It's, you know, I'm used to it with the show at this point. I like some of the toys, but it's not my main. I can live without the Clone Wars toys. I mean, like, you know, as a general rule, when new waves of that come out, it's not my top priority, like the vintage line is.
Right.
So, they have some good ones. Like I said, if it's a character that I'm not going to get somewhere else, like Savage or Press or Ahsoka, you know.
Yeah.
I'll get it. Of course, when they did Bossk, I had to get the Bossk.
Of course. You're a Bossk freak.
Yeah, so.
Especially since you just found out Sideshow was doing a Bossk, and I thought you were going to kill everything.
Oh, it hurts so bad.
Wheelore, who's our good buddy, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Wants to know if we could take a DeLorean, a time machine DeLorean, not a regular DeLorean, but if we could take a time machine DeLorean back to 1985 Toys R Us, what things would we pick up and take back with us to present day?
Oh, 85, man, that's Power of the Force 1.
Power of the Force 1, that's Masters,
scoop,
that's G.I. Joe.
Scoop it out of the bin.
Isn't that the year one. The flag came out, too? Or did it come out in 87?
Flag might have been 85. No, it wasn't 87.
No.
If it was 85, I definitely would scoop that up. Actually, 85 was one of the best years. It's always one of the things I wanted to do. I just didn't quite have every 85 figure.
Mm.
But to me, that's like the highlight, the pinnacle of G.I. Joe.
Right.
Because I think that was the year that they had, like, Flint, and they had...
Zartan was out that year, wasn't he?
Zartan might have been the year before.
What about Tomax and Zaymot? Was that
Tomax
that year?
Tomax and Zaymot might have been that year.
Was that a year? I remember seeing that packaging on the shelf and thinking, that's the coolest packaging ever, because it had that mirror in the middle of it. God, yeah. Dude, Star Wars, G.I. Joe... Transformers Masters, dude, I just would like the Galoob Inspector Gadget would have been on the shelf at that point, which I've lost so many auctions of that thing that I've tried to win because people snipe me at the end. I would take Atari. I would take just a ton of Ataris, like an Atari and a ton of games just to have them. I don't know. There was so much stuff that you could
have found. The flag was 85.
Yeah, I would grab a couple of flags.
Airtight, Alpine, Barbecue, Bazooka, Buzzer, Crimson Guard,
ooh.
Dusty, Eels, Flint, and Footloose. Lady
wow.
J, Quick Kick, Ripper, Shipwreck, Snake Eyes, the really iconic Snake Eyes with the wolf. With
Timber. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Snow Serpent, Televipers, Tomax, Torch, and Zamok.
Wow, that was a hell of a year.
That was like the best year for yeah. G.I. Joe.
It's a hell of a year for new characters, too. Shit. Yeah. I don't know if we told this on the show before, but I had this dream once, and I told the other Dave at Toys R Us about it when I worked there, is that I had a dream once where he and I were in the store by ourselves. We were opening. We were the only two there. Yeah, we were the only two there. We were in the back room, and we were moving stuff, and then suddenly a part of the wall fell away. And Dave and I kind of peered in there, and we were like, what the hell? And it was like a separate part of the storage, the back room, the storage room, that for some reason had been walled over. And whatever was in there got left, and nobody, you know, we didn't know why. There was no evidence as to why. So we, you know, we get some flashlights and kind of poked our bodies through the wall and went in there. And it was just, you know, it wasn't a lot, but there were full cases of stuff that had been left over from like the early to mid 80s of stuff that just, you know, they left in there when they walled it up for some reason. And we were like, oh my God. And, you know, we took it all home because couldn't buy it because the stuff wasn't in the system anymore. So we stole the shit, but we just took it home. We're like, screw it, going in the cars, you know. And it was just cases upon. I remember waking up from that dream thinking and waking up and going, shit, you know. I'm like, this is the worst day ever.
I had a dream before Power of the Force 2 came out. I had a dream that I went to Toys R Us and they had Star Wars figures. And the weird thing is I remember that the cards looked weird to me at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say they were Power of the Force 2 cards and I'm psychic, but I mean, they were like, they didn't look like vintage cards. They had like weird solid colors. And of course, my dreams are like this. Like, I found them, I'm like, that's so cool. And apparently I went somewhere else in the store. So the whole rest of the dream was me trying to find that place where the Star Wars figures were.
Oh, you were like, where did it go?
Where did it go?
No.
So.
Yeah. Quite a bit of stuff there. God, 85 was a hell of a year.
85 was a hell of a year.
Shit.
Well, and they had the bridge layer, the moray.
Oh, that's your favorite vehicle.
Which?
The bridge layer.
Actually, the moray is my favorite vehicle. But I do love the bridge layer because it's so stupid. And because every episode of season one, part one, is like, we've got to get to Cobra, but there's a small gulch in between us. Quick, bring out the bridge layer. Like, so I was watching the DVD. It must be like some weird random quirk that the first like five episodes are all... There's an arroyo in our way. There's a dry riverbed. Quick, get the bridge layer.
You're like, son of a bitch, stop.
Well, it's like there's a line from Simpsons that I appropriated where they had the night boat episode. And they go down a culvert or something. And the kid's like, there's always a culvert or a fjord or some kind of thing. And Homer's like, don't talk bad about night boat.
Oh.
So it's like, there's always a canyon or a gully or an arroyo.
That's awesome.
Toss across.
Oh, my God. Oh, our good buddy Oz wants to know if we've ever found a bootleg toy that's actually better than the official released big company toy. He says, it's happened to me twice, both times with bootleg Transformers that looked more like Transformers than Hasbro's own offerings on the shelves at the time.
I think that would be a bigger one with Transformers than anything else, really.
Yeah.
Because any other bootleg is going to be kind of terrible.
Yeah, well...
I don't know what he means by bootleg, because there's companies that sort of produce Transformers.
That was going to be my thing, is they're not necessarily bootlegs, but they're not official releases.
Yeah.
There's a lot of third-party companies out there.
Yeah, there's some gray... Well, not really gray area, but there's... To me, a bootleg is something, you know, made down in Mexico from old molds.
Right.
And, you know, Galaxy Force is like the classic example. Or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of knockoff toys rather than unofficial releases.
I did see, and it's got one of our comic shops in town still has one on the wall. I just need to go there and be like, dude, here's $10. Give me that figure. But it was a Mexican bootleg Batman figure from the Batman from the movie, from 89, and it looked so cool. I mean, it's almost like a Mego sized Batman figure, but it's, you know. That was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen that's a bootleg. That I'm like, oh, I want to have one of those. And I just never bought it. And I'm like, it was on a big, huge, looked like a big, huge, like, giant-sized Toy Biz version of the card. Mm-hmm. So cool.
They're not, like, flat-out bootlegs, but, like, there's this company called Chap May.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of, like, sort of generic, not quite knockoff toys. They did Beast Raider when He-Man when the 2000X line came out.
Oh, okay,
which was
yeah.
a sort of He-Man-ish toy line.
Right.
They did a sort of Indiana Jones toy line when Indiana Jones came out.
I remember that.
You know, they have a lot of dinosaur toys. I love Chat May stuff. So,
because they did the... what was that line that was on the shelves at the store at one time? Was that the Dino Hunters that
yeah.
Kill and bought, like, cases of?
Yes. Yes, he's got, like, the little carded single figures.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I always loved about them is they did a line of pirate stuff when Pirates of the Caribbean was big.
Right.
And then they took the same molds and sold them to Toys R Us for Animal Planet.
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
like, you know, Curse of the Great White Shark, yar!
Yeah.
You know, study and explore the Great White Shark, you know?
You're like,
Demon
hey,
of the prehistoric world! No! Learn about the amazing animals of the, you know, Cretaceous era.
You're like, hey, wait a minute.
No, I was happy, man, because they had this really cool octopus that I wanted. I'm like, yes!
Is that the one that's on the flag now?
It's attacking it's the guy attacking. Who's trying to haul up the treasure with the
yep.
flag. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, a lot of... I've got, like, a ton of Chat May stuff. Most of the big fish around my flag are
yeah.
Chat May.
That's awesome. I love that stuff.
I do, too.
Oh, I love it. Speaking of which, we touched on this earlier, but Thomas Coley, who's at TMC_1984 on Twitter, wants to know, after getting screwed over by Mattel Digital River once again, please give me three reasons to stay with classics.
Now, I kind of touched on this when we were talking about that. I mean, look, at the end of the day, if you love He-Man, stay with it. If you don't, bail. You just got to understand that this is the price you have to pay for your toys.
I agree. And, you know, Thomas, it's shitty that ultimately that's the price that you have to pay, because it really shouldn't be like that. But it is, and it sucks.
But, yeah, but it is. I mean, that at some point, you have to accept the fact that that's the price you pay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to live in fantasy land where everything works right and, you know, companies just...
Yeah.
Give you exactly what you want for dirt cheap, but that's not the world we live in. And, you know, like I've been saying for weeks and weeks now, you've known that Mattel's had these issues, you've known there have been problems, you've known there's
yeah.
been problems with Digital River. I mean, the only reason is if you love He-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was Star Wars, I'd stay with it.
Yeah. Even
if it was Digital River, even with all the crap that's gone on, you substitute Star Wars for He-Man, I'd still be in there with a subscription.
There's your one reason, Thomas. You love He-Man?
Because you love He-Man.
Keep buying them, man. Because, you know, like we said earlier, the fans are going to get pissed. Some of them are going to drop out, but the majority of them are going to stick around. And, you know, this line needs its fans now more than ever just because of the internal ridiculousness going on. But it's not like retail we had at 2000.
Yeah,
where
that's, you know here's another point to consider. I mean, we've all heard these stories about how the brass at Mattel have these mental issues about the 2000X line.
Right.
Well, if Classics crash and burns,
we're never going to get
long do you think it's going to be before you get another Masters line?
You won't see it in our lifetime, probably.
I don't know.
Vaguely.
No, I think there would be another one someday.
If there was a movie, you would.
If there was a movie, but like, you know, I'm just saying, like, if you let this thing die, just remember, because you're mad at Digital River, just remember, there are consequences for that.
Yeah, shitty consequences, but consequences all the same. Sorry, it couldn't be a better answer, Thomas, but that's all we got for you, brother. And then, actually, let me get to it here. Our good old friend Chris Vint, who is host of the Master Universe Chronicles.
Yeah.
Oops, hold on. Let me see.
Good guy. I like
he,
him.
Very good guy. Wants to know what our thoughts on the Skylanders video game and the collectible figures that are based on the video game are, and if we collect them.
I don't, and I'm pissed because the one character I want is apparently in the expensive starter set. The little fish dude that's all the advertising.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's cool, but apparently you can only get him in the big starter
kit. Well, you've got a PS3 now. Go buy one.
I don't want this stupid game. I just want the little dude. If I could get the little dude, I'd buy it.
You know, I find it fascinating because I know Chris is completely and utterly, like, infatuated with that line. And nothing against it. It's cool. It's a cool little idea. It's a really great idea that they've, you know, managed to do with the Spyro characters from the old Spyro games.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to find out it tied in with Spyro, because there's
nothing
about the advertising.
It actually is a Spyro game.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason behind it. But, you know, the fact that they made this game and then made these collectible figures to go with the game, it was genius, because they've tried it before. It never quite worked. Not with figures, but, you know, we tried We had collectible card games for, like, the PS3. Eye of Judgment came out. It was a collectible, you know, trading card game that you used in the PS3. And it,
well, there was Club Penguin.
Penguin's still kind of big, but...
But my best friend's kid, for a while, was really into Webkinz.
Right, Webkinz were...
Where you scan the thing and you have, like, an online version of the thing. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been done before.
Yeah, Skylanders is neat because there's so many... You know, that game changes no matter the characters you put on that base... The game completely changes for you. You know, some of the levels may be the same, but the play value and all that changes. And the figures are really well done. They did a really good job on those figures. But I know Chris Vance hooked on them. I know Pixel Dan is like, you know, our old friend Pixel Dan's ridiculously into those. And I think they're cool, but you guys have fun because I can't afford anything else. I can't afford to get into that.
I just wanted the fish, dude. Like repaint him and make him a slightly different fish dude and put him in a 3-pack. That's the only one I really want.
I know.
I've looked at them though, and they look neat. But the one I really wanted was the little fish.
Well, it amazes me how well they sold at Christmas time. Like it was.
Oh yeah, it was a big seller.
Yeah, it was huge Christmas time because Toys R Us had it everywhere, and then you know several weeks before Christmas, they were nowhere to be found. So it's a big deal. You know, I'm glad the game's surviving. I'm glad that the figures are selling well. I'm glad that kids have kind of adapted to it. I think more collectors than kids have really...
2 weeks ago, like, I was there at Toys R Us when the truck came in, and it was like, you know, we got in one case of the 3-packs, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Spread the word.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a big thing.
Yeah, it's huge. I remember seeing those on the shelves and thinking, man, I hope this line survives, because if not, that's going to be a shitty thing for them, for that company.
I remember seeing them on the shelves going, where's the fish dude?
Yeah, where's the fish dude?
Why is he in all the advertising? Don't make the guy in all the advertising. You have to buy the big set. That's bullshit.
Poor Dave. Poor Dave.
I like fish dudes.
That's weird.
They're cool.
It's weird that you like the fishy dudes.
I'm into like Lovecraft and stuff.
So no, that's true.
Like Innsmouth dudes.
That's true. You do like yourself some Lovecraft. Some Cthulhu.
I like me some Cthulhu.
You even have a stuffed Cthulhu.
Yes, I do. Before it became like a mass-produced thing. That was handmade.
That's right. Oh, crap. There you go, guys. So some fan questions. Before we wrap things up for today, if Dave doesn't have anything else to discuss, no.
Lozenge.
Lozenge. Just be aware that you can find us on iTunes now. You can go to the iTunes store, search for Toy World Order, or even search for Dave and the Vols Toys and Collectibles. You can find us there. Subscribe. Listen to us if you use iTunes and subscribe to us. Leave your comments on there. You can also, of course, find us on ToyWorldOrder.com, which is the home of Dave and the Vols Toys and Collectibles, as well as the home of Effin and all the great reviews from those of us at Toy World Order. So you can check us out there. Join the forums. It is free. It's free. Sign up for the forums. Join us. Ask us questions. We have official Effin forum and an official Dave and the Vols.
Yeah, I like how they got one right away.
Well, that's
because it took us 4 episodes to get one.
That's because...
And they kicked us out of our time slot.
That's because your co-host didn't think about it for some ridiculous reason until someone brought it up. And I was like, I forget I have control over that. I can do that. Leave us your questions, comments, or concerns. You can follow me on Twitter, at Puppet Duvall. You can check me out. I'm on there. You can follow Toy World Order, at Toy World Order. You can't follow Dave because Dave's not on Twitter.
I don't do the twiddle.
Dave doesn't tweet. Dave's not a tweet twatter.
No, I'm not a tweet twatter.
Tweet twatter.
I'm definitely not a tweet twatter.
Tweet twatter. Dave, tweet twatter, tweet twatter. I don't know. It sounded funny in my head.
I'm sure it did.
So there you go, gang. Make sure you check us out on all those. You can go to if you guys like our reviews, like our video reviews that we're doing on the site, please, please, please watch them on the site, but also go to YouTube and subscribe to the Toy World Order channel on YouTube. I'd like to see the subscribers get a little bigger. We're doing some great stuff on there. Effin's available on YouTube. All of our reviews are available on there. Anything that we do video-wise will be available on YouTube as well as the site. Check us out. Make sure you subscribe there and help us out. It would be awesome to see the fans come out in unison for Toy World Order now that 2012 is going and we're really ramping things up. So I thank you all for listening to the show. As always, we will be back next Thursday. Right here on ToyWorldOrder.com with Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. I'm in the meantime going to work. I've got my web guy working on a downloadable links to where you can download the episodes instead of streaming them. So if you want to download them, that's turning out to be kind of a problem since they're closing all the upload sites like Mega Upload and all that are getting shut down. And we host all the podcasts off our own site. So it's kind of becoming a thing that we got to work around, but we'll get that sorted out. So for those of you who have asked about downloadable links for the show, hopefully I will have those very, very soon. So there you go, gang. Thanks for listening. Another week, another edition of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles has come to a close. The Toy Bar is closed for the week. So until next week, gang.
I'm Dave.
I'm Duvall. See you next time.